Bosch sound.
Hey, very good morning to you and welcome along. It is the Breakfast Show live on the road this Wednesday from Taunton in Somerset.
And I tell you what, it's looking like another good start to the day, you know. Light clouds, bit of sunshine, highs of 19 degrees, you can't go wrong.
And we are here to follow the first ever Iron to Iron bike ride. Over 6 days, 320 miles, the 17 cyclists started yesterday at the Meldon Viaduct in Devon. They are heading back...
This is Iron to Iron, a journey through an engineering history taken by a group of amateur cyclists in September 2021 and followed by Paul and Lewis on the Erewash Sound Breakfast Show. This is episode 2 and the second leg of our journey. After a gentle start, the going is about to get tough as Cheddar Gorge appears on the horizon. With a target of 50 miles to cover to reach Bristol, some of those miles are going to be their toughest yet. Here's cyclists Ron, Adrian, Philippa, Brian and Nick.
It was a nice day. The initial bit of it was quite flat. There was a particularly nice bit, I think, we did along canals, which was a really nice bit of a run. But heading to Bristol, obviously, one of the big challenges of the day and the thing that was looming in front of you in the distance was Cheddar Gorge. So you think that's going to be a bit of a challenge.
After Somerset Wetlands, we had a long, nice ride. We were kind of lulled into a full sense of security. And everybody laughed, saying, oh, just you went to get to Cheddar Gorge. And I knew about Cheddar Gorge, but I actually never cycled up it.
It's down on the Somerset levels. We're coming along one of the canals, and I'm sort of pedalling along quite happily, and suddenly my pedal wasn't there.
Right.
So the whole arm just dropped off the spine, and I'm thinking, I don't really fancy going up Cheddar Gorge on one pedal.
We have been through the gorge once by car a long time ago when our kids were young. I knew it was steep. I knew it had a bad reputation.
And yes, it was steep. It was like being in the Alps. The closest we get to the Tour de France climbs.
The gorge felt like, yeah, bottom gear. Just keep going. You breathe. And it is all about breathing, as long as your legs are in condition. There is some truth in no pain, no gain, isn't there? I say to people, at the end of this, I will have enjoyed it. But if you ask me, am I going to enjoy today? Hand on heart, I can't say I'm going to enjoy it, but I will have enjoyed it when I finish.
Oh, they're all coming in now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great, Paul. It's wonderful.
There he is.
Hey!
Afternoon, we're good. Are you alright? All good.
No problem.
Afternoon, chaps.
I might have ref for an interview.
How do you find out how high we've come up? Well, this morning we've had a total ascent of 1180 feet.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't know how much of that is the actual gorge. Well, probably most of it. It's been really flat.
No, and the gorge itself is spectacular because could you see much of that on the bike?
Well, you can.
Yeah.
But you didn't really want to stop once you were going, so you just want to keep going. But because it's a nice blue sky day as well, it really shines. Is it limestone? I think it's... Is it limestone?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it stood out. We saw you guys.
Yeah. You certainly seemed very cheerful anyway when you saw us.
I was, because I've got a cyst, so it's easy for me. It's easy for me.
That's why you were smiling.
It was, yeah, yeah. I can catch up with the fast guys, but then they're still faster on the flat, so... Yeah, no, it was fabulous.
We're enjoying it. So the fact everybody's smiling is brilliant.
Yeah.
Hiya.
Hiya. How have you found the climb so far then?
Oh, well, we went down and did it again because it was.
it
seemed a bit light today, so we.
We're climbing there, we're ahead of them, aren't we?
We had a second go. Yeah, no, it was all right. First bit was the worst, and then once you were over that, it was a long grind uphill.
But you're still smiling then, so what are we about?
That's
over
pain.
Halfway? Yeah. More of a grimace.
More of a grimace, yes, yes. Yeah, I think we're over halfway now. We've done the high bit, so the worst bit cracked, I think, for today.
Excellent.
We're just lucky with the weather, aren't we?
It is absolutely gorgeous.
It wouldn't have been nice to do that in the rain or against the wind or something. It would have made it even more
And it's
tricky.
Not been too warm then for you today?
No, no. Just doing our bikini line good with your cycle shorts.
We call them little bumps in Suffolk.
Why?
We've got hills 10 times that size in Suffolk.
Howard, you've got a bit of a cut on your arm.
Yeah, I had a little fall at the bottom there.
Yeah, how did it happen?
Somebody was ahead of me going very slow, and I had to swerve to miss him and hit a bump or a hole in the road and went over.
Oh, but you're all right.
Yeah, great.
Is that your first injury on the ride so far?
No, it's a fell over yesterday as well. That's part of the age, I think. Being the oldest one of the group, I'm entitled to fall off, I think.
So if that mind me asking then, how old are you then if you're the oldest of the group?
I'm 75.
75? Fantastic. Still a regular cyclist by the looks of it, though.
Yeah, I've always cycled, yeah. Yeah. Done quite a lot of tours and things.
What is it that keeps you coming back to cycling?
Trying not to get old. Yeah. Do it while you can, because you never know.
And does it keep you young?
My daughter keeps me young.
So, have you come along willingly then for the ride
definitely,
this time?
Yes, definitely, yes.
Our cyclists are rewarded with a freewheeling descent towards Bristol. Meanwhile, Paul and Lewis take a detour to find out what's on the local menu. By following their nose, they end up at the Cheddar Gorge Cheese Company and chat to the big cheese, John Spencer.
Why have you brought me to Cheddar?
Well, to be honest with you, we did cider the other day. Today, I'm thinking Cheddar. What's the first thing you think of with Cheddar?
Right, hang on a minute. You just want a Plowman's, don't you?
If I'm honest with you, I've been trying to build it through the week. So, of course, Cheddar, famous for its cheese, and we were very lucky to speak to the person that all the staff in the shop called the Big Cheese.
So what is it that makes cheddar cheese so significant? Because it is a British staple, cheddar cheese. So how has it become so significant, cheddar?
Well, cheddar is ubiquitous. The thing is, you can use it for nearly everything. If you take other cheeses, you may be able to use some for cooking. You may be able to use some for plate. But not many that you do both with. Whereas cheddar, you can use for whatever you want. And it'll last. Our vintage cheddar at the moment was made in July 19, so 2 years and 2 months old. And you compare that with something like a Batu Brie or a Camembert or whatever. After 2.5 years, you wouldn't go in the same county as it, you know, let alone try and eat it. We make traditional cheddar, and by traditional I mean we use unpasteurised milk, and we think that's really important because the biggest single influencing factor is the milk. That's influenced by the pastures, which are local. And I mean, if we took our cheese making process and the cheese makers and even the farmer and put it in Norfolk, we'd get different cheese because the base product is.
He was a lovely fella, wasn't he?
He was lovely, and I tell you what, I've never met anybody as knowledgeable about cheese as he is, and I'm all for it.
And you know what, I don't think I've actually eaten cheese on the radio before.
I haven't either, and it was genuinely, we're not making this up, extremely nice. It's some of the best cheese I've ever tasted.
If you can find a parking space in Cheddar, come along.
Yeah, do, because that took us more time than the interview, to be honest with you. But of course, we are following the Iron to Iron bike challenge.
Having survived Cheddar Gorge with only a few bruises and one rogue pedal, our cyclists arrive in the modern, bustling city of Bristol. With traffic lights and pedestrians to negotiate, after the peaceful open roads, what will they make of the change of pace?
At lunchtime when we spoke to you, we were in the beautiful Cheddar Gorge, not a soul in sight.
Yes.
And now we're in Bristol city centre. How did you find the transition from beautiful rural countryside riding to arguing with buses and taxis?
Well, it's not quite as pleasant, obviously, and it does take a lot of effort to weave your way across the city centre. you know, using all the crossings and cycle lanes and stuff. It took quite a long time to get from one side to the other, so it's a nice city, and it was nice weather, so it couldn't be too bad.
It is really nice that we've got the weather, and I'm reliably informed that the weather at home is shocking, which makes us feel even better.
It does make us feel better.
This evening we're going to see Brunel Swing Bridge, and it's significant in that it was the forerunner of the box girder, and so it's very important. It's called the balloon flange girder. Brunel pioneered this, and everybody else, all the steel box girder structures you see now is a result of what Brunel pioneered, and it's iron, which is similar to Bentley like that. Wrought iron.
There if you want to see, so go and have a look at them. Yeah. And are you wanting a photo in front of this bridge?
Yeah, be nice. Yeah. Sorry.
What happened then, of course, is that we had the tour around the docks and the talk about the Industrial Revolution and all the rest of it. So it was the hardest climb, but it was also the most interesting evening session after that. I'd never particularly gone around the canal basin in Bristol. I know Bristol reasonably well, but different parts of it, further up Stoke Bishop. Just seeing some of the swing bridges and all that kind of stuff, fascinating. And then seeing it alongside the Avon Gorge and the Clifton Bridge, just wondering at what the Victorians were able to do and how they changed the landscape forever, which is the landscape we've inherited.
Now, the other exciting thing about the bridge, if we just look at the end.
Our cyclists are joined by Caroline Levette, trustee of Sustrans and the custodians of the National Cycle Network, who shared her own passion for the heritage of the Severn Estuary.
So obviously the river is extremely tidal, and most ships came in at the Cumberland Basin where we were before on the locks there, but quite a lot of tall ships came up. This is the course of the original river. Then it dived into the basin. There's a new cut from here up. So all these bridges swung. So you could get masted ships through. And if you look down there, you can see some wooden structures there. So the bridge swung over to those. That was to stop a boat going underneath where the bridge was going to swing. So just stop a bridge getting squashed. Yeah.
We had a fabulous trip down to the docks. We went and saw Brunel's old bridge. One of the really nice things about this is I didn't know a lot about bridges before I actually went on the route. And my knowledge is still fairly limited. So having a walk around the docks and going to see the bridge, walking down to the river at the end, just knowing again the history of the place and, you know, finding out a bit more about it was a really nice evening.
Put a dam here. Opened up the locks, built the Cumberland Basin and created a floating harbour, because the trouble was the tide is not there for 8 hours out of 12. There's no tide. So Bristol uniquely had dockers who were allowed to work round the clock by law. There was no legislation to stop them because they couldn't stop them. They couldn't unload ships. And so the ships used to get grounded and land in the mud.
We leave our cyclists for the evening in Bristol. Day two successfully completed of a challenge to pedal from the Meldon Viaduct in Devon to the Bennelly Viaduct in Derbyshire. 17 amateur cyclists, 6 days and 320 miles of engineering history. 110 miles covered, 210 to go. In the next episode, we follow our riders across the Severn Bridge, through Wales and into Chepstow, briefly swapping pedal power for something rather more steamy. You've been listening to Iron to Iron, an Inkslingers Media production in partnership with Erewash Sound and the Friends of Bennelly Viaduct. Supported by the Audio Content Fund, presented by Rachel Bramhall, with Paul Stacey and Lewis Allsop. Produced by Leona Fensom, Paul Stacey and Lewis Allsop. Executive producer, Lucia Scazzocchio. Music performed by Chris Nixon, script by Jackie Brewster, audio production and sound design by Oliver Sanders. For more information on future Iron to Iron journeys, please visit benleyviaduct.org.uk.